Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 10. When we were little and we were asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm sure most of us had some great answer, like we want to be a nurse or a teacher or a dancer or a singer, something great, something wonderful. I'm pretty confident that none of us said, I want to be a servant. But in God's kingdom, in the kingdom living, Jesus has been teaching us an entirely new way of thinking, concepts that are in complete opposition to our natural bent, to our flesh nature, to the things that we've been taught and shown in the world that we live in, the mindset that's been modeled for us. But in Romans 12:2, it tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's by that renewing of our mind, a new way of thinking, it's the mind of Christ. And in the chapter that we've been studying this past week, Jesus gave us a huge lesson in kingdom living. Look with me at Mark 10, verses 43 through 45. The disciples were conversing on the road. Jesus had been sharing with them as they traveled to Jerusalem about the fact that he would go there and he would go to the cross and he was going to suffer shame and suffer pain and he was going to die, but that he was going to be resurrected. And they still didn't completely get that. And then a little while later on, two of the disciples came to him asking for position in the kingdom of heaven, to sit on his right hand and his left hand. And this is the response that we see from the Lord to the disciples after he tells them that, you know, you really don't know what you are asking for. But let's pick it up at verse 43. He said, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. To serve and to give, service and sacrifice, that is why he came. And ladies, we know that the Father's primary goal in our lives as his daughters is what? Is to transform us into the image of his dear Son. That is what delights the Father. It's what brings him pleasure. So if someone were to ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up spiritually? What do you want to do or be for the kingdom of God? A great answer would be that I want to be the servant of all. You know, when I was in high school, I was a natural leader, just God-given gifts from the Lord. I was always involved in ASB, leadership roles in choir and sports and drama and all of that. And but I also really desired to be a spiritual leader. And I went to a public school, and I would be the one that was, you know, always inviting my girlfriends to go to retreats with me. And we had a home Bible study in our house one year. And, you know, really wanted to lead in that way. But it was hard. And I failed a lot of times in my walk and in my representing the Lord. But that was my heart's desire, was to lead them to Christ, was to point them to him. And as I really began to study the word, I'd say my freshman year, sophomore year is when it really dug into the word, I was so drawn to the reality that great leadership really means great servanthood. And when I read how Paul called himself a bondslave of Christ, or how Mary, when the Lord came to her and said that she was going to carry the Son of God in her womb, that she said, I am your maidservant, and I'm here to do your will. Or great men and women of faith who were all referred to as servants of God. I was like, yes, Lord, I want that. I want to be your servant. Use me. I'm yours. And this really became a prayer of mine, a passionate prayer of mine. And my senior year, I was in a girls' quartet, and we were all Christians, and we got to, you know, like put on actually like concerts at a couple churches. And so we each chose a solo that kind of represented our heart. A song, you know, that we would sing. And I remember one of my friends, I don't know if you remember Amy Grant's song, My Father's Eyes. She did that one. Well, I did Larry Norman's I Am Your Servant. And the irony is that back then at 17, I really didn't fully understand or pay attention to the lyrics of the song, at least not fully. And when I Googled it to look it up, the whole song is based upon being tired of the struggle with selfishness and self-serving and being lonely because of it, and tired of playing a part instead of giving his whole heart. And part of the lyric says, "How can you use me when I've never given all? And how can you choose me when you know I'd quickly fall? So you feed my soul and you make me grow, and you let me know you love me. I am worthless now, but I've made a vow. I will humbly bow before thee. Oh, please use me. I am lonely. I am a servant getting ready for my part. There's been a change, a rearrangement in my heart. At last I'm learning there's no returning once I start. To live is a privilege, and to love is such an art. But I need your help to start. Oh, please purify my heart. I am your servant." And just like the disciples didn't really comprehend or know what they were asking when they desired leadership and to be great in God's kingdom, I didn't either. When I asked to be his servant, I didn't really understand the sacrifice or the cost, the breaking, the humbling, the baptism of suffering, along with being faced with my own failures and weakness and sin. But God heard the prayer of a child, and he began his work in me. And it's still my prayer today, and he's still doing his work in me. And I believe it's the same for each one of you, or at least I hope that it is, that that has been the cry of your heart when you came to the Lord, is I want to be your servant. I want to serve you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to please the Father. I want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so we can rejoice that he who began a good work in us, ladies, he will complete it. He will complete it. And Jesus has gone before us, and he's led the way, and his spirit of holiness is working in us and through us, conforming and transforming and renewing our minds to be like him. And you know, the entire Gospel of Mark that we've been studying has been a portrait of servanthood. Jesus as the perfect servant. And verse 45 here is really the pinnacle of this entire gospel, that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So if we ladies want to follow in his footsteps, you know, our whole Bible study is called A Journey with Jesus, then let's take the remainder of our time here to really look at Jesus and the example that he has set forth for us of what it means to be a servant. So I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 42. This is a chapter that is prophetic. It's a prophetic picture of Jesus, the Messiah to come. And it's a picture of him as God's servant. Then we're going to read a few verses here, beginning in chapter 1. It says, "Behold," or in other words, "look closely, stare at this, my servant who I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth." What a beautiful picture. First, ladies, I want you to notice dependent, that Jesus was dependent. While on this earth, he willingly made himself dependent upon the Father to direct him, to lead him, to speak, and to use him. Time and time again, he said that he didn't do anything apart from the Father. When the Father said to move, he moved. When the Father said to work a miracle, he worked a miracle. Everything was dependent upon his relationship with the Father. And wow, don't you wish that you and I could say that? To be that dependent upon the voice of God and the will of God? Boy, that goes completely against our human nature. We take pride in our independence, don't we? We naturally want to show God that we can do it for him. We want to prove to others that we can do it. You know, I have this problem in my marriage. From the very beginning when we got married, I always wanted to prove to Rob that I could handle things. I would say, no, honey, I got it. It's good. No, I like doing that. I can do that. I think part of it was just my upbringing, not having a father figure, having to do a lot around the home. And in my pride, it was, I can do it all by myself. So I took care of the house by myself and the yard, and I carried in the groceries, and I cleaned the cars, and I moved furniture around my house, and I have the backache to prove it now. And I remember a few years into my marriage having a conversation with Mom Sandy. Mom, I call her Mom. She's my mother-in-law, but I never say she's my mother-in-law. She's my mom. Mom Sandy, she's mom to a lot of you. I share her. You should be thankful. But I was having this conversation with Mom, and I must have been complaining about everything I was doing. Because, you know, it was nice to go to Mom because she was always, like, really impressed with everything I could do. So, you know, I probably was going for the pat on the back from her. And I went to her also because she really was the best example to me of servanthood. I remember when I first met her and Rob brought me to the house, I was actually overwhelmed by her servanthood. Like, just watching how she served Tony and watching how she wanted to serve me. It was kind of almost overwhelming, and I thought, wow. And she's always been that example to me of what a servant is. But as I'm talking to her and probably complaining, I remember this, and I don't know if she will. She just shook her head at me, and she gave me that little smile of hers, and she said, "You should have never let on that you could do it all." She said, "I always told Tony from the very beginning when it comes to certain things, I just can't do that." I thought, boy, if only I could push the rewind button and start all over again. But ladies, the world looks at dependency on God as weakness. But in the kingdom living and serving, its strength and its wisdom. It's seeing ourselves for who we really are and understanding that really we can do nothing of spiritual value or worth without the Father. Where we cry out, "Abba, uphold us, help us, strengthen us." The second characteristic of Jesus we see here in Isaiah is that he was empowered. He was empowered. It says, "I have put my spirit upon him." And remember in Mark, when we began the gospel, how Jesus went and he was baptized and how the spirit ascended from heaven like a dove upon Jesus. The obvious application is this: if Jesus needed the empowering of the Holy Spirit in order to serve, how much more do you and I? In order to serve our husbands and our children, serving our co-workers and our friends and our enemies. It takes the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, and I hope and I pray that you make it a daily habit to come to the Lord and ask him for a fresh filling of his Spirit. Make it a daily habit to say, "Lord, I can't do the things that you're going to call me to do today without your strength and empowering, without your anointing." You know, I had a sweet conversation with Amanda today when I picked her up from school. And for those of you who know my Amanda, she was blessed to actually be part of the worship on Sunday, and which was a very sweet, touching moment for me to have my daughter up there. But when Jordan asked her, I watched her go through the whole thing. I know it very well. I mean, she was so afraid, felt inadequate. "I don't know. I don't think I can do this. I'm not ready." And I just tried to encourage her, "Amanda, you've been asked. Step out and trust the Lord and just rely upon him." And so she did. And she was blessed. And on the way home, she was saying, "You know, Mom, we got there late. We hardly had time to go through the songs. But as soon as we stopped and we prayed and went to the Lord, I had such a peace." And then she, after a minute of silence, she said, "You know what? I feel like God uses me more when he takes me out of my comfort zone." And I said, "Oh, Amanda, you have just learned a great lesson." Because isn't that the way he works? Always the way he works. He's going to stretch us. He's going to take us out of what is naturally possible for us in our own strength. He does that so that we're going to acknowledge him, we're going to look to him, and we're going to give him the glory that's due his name, not our own. And that's the spiritual lesson we all need to learn as true servants, to quit saying, I can't, when he asks you to do something. Don't limit God on the tasks that he has for you, and look for him for the empowerment. The third characteristic of a servant that we see in Jesus is that he's unannounced. Unannounced. It said, Jesus did not cry out or cause his voice to be heard on the streets. In other words, he was not looking for the limelight or the applause of man. He wasn't looking to make a name for himself or have self-promotion. He was there to point people to the Father, to look up. And when Jesus picked up that towel and that basin of water in John 13 that we're all familiar with, a great example of servanthood, he didn't start out and begin that by saying, now I'm going to demonstrate servanthood, so I want you all to pay attention. No, he just did it. He just acted out servanthood. And when we are more concerned with our own name and reputation, our position or attention, than we are with demonstration, then we have it all wrong. Easy to do, isn't it? So easy to do. We need to be challenged in this area. The most important thing is not our name and our reputation and our position in leadership. It's our action. It's how we serve the Lord, how we demonstrate it. And some of the most beautiful servants in this church are the ones that are so quiet. They're just so faithful. They're just always there doing and serving. And they, most of them don't have a title, but they're the faithful servants, and it's such a blessing. And some of you are some of those people, and I'm very, very grateful. But when we have this problem and we want the attention and we want the focus on us, at some point God will humble us and bring us low, and it's going to be for our own good and put us right back in the right place. And I know that by experience. I have had many times in my life where the Lord said, no, and just pulled me back or took something away from me. And it's so good, and it's so right. Remember in John where it says when he prunes us, why does he prune us? To hurt us or make us sad or think we're losers? No, he prunes us so that we will bear more fruit. The fourth characteristic of Jesus, I'm putting two together actually, is that he's compassionate and caring. Compassionate and caring. I love verse 3 where it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I love this picture. He's sympathetic with the weak. He's mercifully understanding toward those who err. He mends bruises, and he fans the weak spirit into a flame. Jesus describes himself in two words in Matthew 11:29. Two words he describes himself. He says, Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentle means strength with control. Humility, a great word picture of what it means to really be a helper. And he cares. He's caring. He's compassionate. And I love this picture. And really, it's a strong word for you and for me as his servants. Are we compassionate and caring, gentle and humble in the manner in which we serve? And I'm going to be specific. How about in the manner we serve our families? Is this your behavior in your home as a wife, as a mother, as a grandmother? Ladies, servanthood starts in the home, and the attitude of our heart shows up very, very quickly behind closed doors. And oh, sometimes we may be washing feet, but it's with a bucket of ice-cold water or scalding hot water. And we've got, you know, the bristle out instead of a washcloth. And we're cleaning up our children and our husbands. And we cause pain and hurt and suffering by the manner in which we serve. Our natural bent and desire is to want to be the master. At least in my life it is. You know, we want to take over the world. And if we can't take over the world, it'd be nice to take over our job workplace. And if we can't do that, we will for sure take over our home. And the kids become our servants. And we want to lord over our spouse. And the end result is we end up bruising and breaking and snuffing out hope and life and love. We damage relationships with our kids and our spouse or our coworkers, our friends, relationships here in the church as we serve one another. Oh, how desperately we need the heart of Jesus, and we need to apply his example that he gives in servanthood, full of compassion. His mercies are new every morning. Aren't you so glad for that? I love that verse. I love to wake up in the morning and just sing that and say that. Praise the Lord that his mercies fail not in our lives. We need that merciful spirit and that compassionate spirit as true servants of the Lord. Ladies, we need our strength under control. We need to be a humble helper. I just want to challenge you in that area. If you're convicted, conviction's good. And we need it. And we need to examine that. And really look at what is the tone that we set in our home. What kind of servant are we being? You know, we've seen in the Gospel of Mark a couple times now where Jesus really shares his heart about the little children and about us not stumbling them. As moms, are we stumbling our children by the example that we are in front of them? Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Okay, great portion of scripture. We're going to look at a couple more characteristics from this passage. And we're going to pick it up in verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." What a great example of servanthood we see here. The fifth characteristic I want to point out is obedience. Obedience. Obedience, and for Jesus, it was to the point of death. You know, often we say obedience as long as it doesn't hurt. Or yes, Lord, as long as I'm in agreement with what you are asking of me. Or yes, Lord, as long as it doesn't cost me anything. Or yes, Lord, as long as ultimately I'm still in control. But that's not true servanthood. Jesus said in John 5:30, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And if we really are going to call ourselves his bond slaves, then we must be willing to do whatever he commands, whenever he commands. And boy, that is not easy. But you know what? We can take heart because we're told that it's something that is learned. Jesus, we're told in Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience is something learned. Often when I'm talking to younger women, high school age or college age, and we're talking about, you know, just life and all of that, and they love the Lord, but the noticeable word is "I" in conversation. It's "I'm going to go," and "I'm going to be," and "pray for me, I really want, and I really need, and I know God says don't, but I really want to do." And that's the natural way, and we were all like that too when we were young in the faith. But, you know, it's through learning, isn't it? It's a learning process. Sometimes it's through the school of hard knocks and the school of suffering. It's through experiences and trials and suffering that we mature and we begin to understand this concept. And hopefully, those of us who are mature in the Lord, we have learned obedience to Christ, that it is not our will but God's will, that we belong to him. We don't have our own rights to our lives. Hopefully, when the younger women in the faith and those young in age hear our conversations, they're seeing the reality that we are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that we are bent on wanting his will accomplished in us and through us. And you know, we discover as we go through the sufferings and the learning this truth that he is faithful and he is a good master, that he's perfect and true and just and right, and that he delights in us and he has our best interests at heart, and that he loves us with a perfect love. So wherever he calls us, whatever he asks us to do, may we be women that are willing to obey and say, yes, Lord. And please pray for the younger women and those that are younger in the faith, your sisters, in this area, and be an example of a life submitted to this concept of lordship and obedience and willing to die to our own ambitions, our own wants, and our own way, and live for his way. John 13:16-17 says, truly, truly, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. I know that we could all stand up and testify to this truth. Then when we have responded in obedience to the word of God and to his ways, even when it's hard, even when we lack faith, boy, aren't we blessed. In hindsight, after the work is done, after we see what that was all about, then we're like, oh, Lord, you're so good. You so blessed us. Thank you, Lord. I get really intrigued in scenes in the Bible. I love the vivid portraits they are. And if you turn back to Mark chapter 10. Just that whole scene there in verse 32 when they're on the road headed toward Jerusalem, I think it is a beautiful picture of the lesson that the disciples then learned later on in this passage. And I don't want you to miss to connect the dots here between Jesus walking on the road to Jerusalem headed toward the cross with the powerful conversation about servanthood. Rob and I went to Israel a few years ago. That was my first time. He'd been a couple other times. And one of my most favorite memorable moments is when we were in the bus on the way up to Jerusalem. And it really is like high and high elevation. You know, you're just climbing up the steep mountain to Jerusalem. And to our surprise, the tour bus driver stopped before we got there. And he had us all get out. And he had us walk the road up to the gates of Jerusalem. And it really was a powerful moment and a great picture, because the way up takes energy and sacrifice, and it's not easy. It's not an easy road, but it's the way to the cross. And I love how Jesus here on the road, it says that he went before them. And he is our great shepherd, ladies, and he always goes before us. He will always lead the way. Whatever direction he calls us to, he's made those steps ahead of us, and we can trust him in that. It might be a steep climb. We might be fearful. It might be hard, but he's gone ahead before us. And I love also that we're told that, not here, but in one of the other Gospels, and Margie covered this in the study, how Jesus' face was set like flint. You know, in other words, it was time. He was determined. The choice, he's moving in the direction, and nothing's going to stop him. His face like flint. He knew he had to go to the cross. And may we do the same. May we be determined in heart and mind, choosing to follow Jesus, to serve him, to crucify our flesh so that we might live for him. And that is the great exchange, because we should not be afraid of the cross and of dying to self and crucifying the flesh, because truly it's in dying that we live, that we have freedom, that we have victory, that we have power in our life. And what a beautiful exchange that we get when we go to the cross. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who you sent. And Lord, he came with a mission. He came to serve and to give his life. And we are so thankful that our Savior went to the cross, that he died and he rose again. We're so thankful that we have in the Word the example of what it means to truly serve, to humble ourselves, to give to others, and to do it in a way and with the right attitude and the right motive that's going to delight you as our Father. And we want that. And Lord, we just confess that apart from you, we can't do this, Lord. We battle against our own flesh, our own motives, our own desires. Lord, there's times when we're tired, we're weak. Lord, when servanthood isn't easy. And Lord, I know that there's women here who are struggling in their homes to serve in this manner. And Lord, I know that you want to meet them in their weakness, that you want to meet them in their need. And you want to do a fresh work in them. And Lord, I pray that they would be willing. Lord, that they would take on the new mindset, Lord. The areas where they've kind of given up or taken over or failed to represent you, Lord, that they would go to the cross right now and just confess that, allow you to forgive them, and that, Lord, you would show them the way. Lord, for some of these women, it is hard to serve their husbands because they feel unloved. They don't feel the response in return. Lord, they give and they give. And they feel, Lord, not loved and not appreciated. But Lord, you see them. And Lord, I pray that they would go away tonight understanding they're your maidservant. Lord, that if they do everything as unto the Lord, as unto you, Lord, that is pleasing. Lord, that you see, that you reward, and that you would give them the strength and empowerment to serve. And Lord, for others of us, Lord, as in parenting, Lord, it's so easy to fail. It's so easy to misrepresent you, to lose patience, to say things, Lord, that snuff out our children's dreams and desires and hopes. Lord, there's times when we are not compassionate and we're not comforting. And Lord, we just confess that to you. And Lord, we ask that you would give us your mindset and help us to serve our children, to minister to them. Lord, to see through your eyes what their needs are. And Lord, how to give and not resent giving and not resent the sacrifice of being a mom. And quit complaining about the sacrifice of being a mom. Lord, help us to serve our children as unto you. And Lord, in this church family, forgive us for the times when we serve and our motives are wrong and impure. Forgive us for the times when we're complaining under our spirit because we're tired and we wish other people would get up and serve. Lord, forgive us for the wrong attitudes and the wrong mindset. Forgive us when we don't esteem our sisters and brothers higher than ourselves. Lord, you tell us to stir one another up to love and good works. Lord, that we would serve one another in love. And so, Lord, if we've been off in that area, Lord, show us, convict us, reveal your heart, change us. And Lord, we thank you that your mercies are new every morning, your compassions fail not. We thank you for the cross. Lord, I pray that you would lead us there right now. Lord, everything we hold dear, help us to count it as loss. Bring us to our knees. Rid us of ourselves. Lord, we do. We belong to you, Lord, and we want to be women that continually run to the cross. Thank you, Jesus.